Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America N.A., member FDIC.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
PJ, you know how you made it? You know how you really know you made it?
How?
Drop 40 in a pivotal game, and you're not the lead because you're supposed to. We already take it for granted. Giannis, the Greek freak, has made it. We don't bat an eye when he drops 40 in a game like that.
Undermanned, no Chris Middleton, literally kept them in the game the entire first half, made plays down the stretch, like went on a legit run by himself to keep them in striking distance going into the half.
It reminds me of Shaq in that first couple years with Kobe when they were winning. And it was like you didn't even look at Shaq's stat line in a finals game. You knew it was going to be 40 and 15. And, like, you just took that for granted. What did everybody else do? Giannis is already doing that kind of stuff.
Yeah, no, it was a interesting game, so to speak, when you looked at it. I had the opportunity, though, to be with a lot of Houston Astro fans sitting here in Houston. And so you can only imagine what game I had to really focus in on dealing with the Houston Astro fans. Sitting here in Houston, they had me out at St. Andrew's Brewery, and I had to ask a couple times. St. Arnold's, I don't know why St. Andrew's.
St. Andrew's, Arnold's. You think about the golf course?
No, there's a brewery called St. Andrew's, but St. Arnold's Brewery, St. Andrew's.
Oh,
but it's St. Arnold's, and so I had the luxury of sitting and watching some of the Houston Astros games and kind of, you know.
Yeah, you had a good
Houston
time, obviously, from the way you sound right now. You had a real good time last night.
Oh, no, I'm good, man. I
can't even remember the name of the brewery, man. That must be some good beer.
No, I didn't actually have any beer, though, Evan. I didn't drink at all. I just, you know, I'm sitting there.
You just can't remember it in general.
I'm trying to watch the game.
All right, he is in Houston as part of our spring tour, and he has talked some stuff about the Astros stealing that World Series from the Dodgers, and then hangs out with a gang of them at a brewery last night, and now can't remember anything, apparently.
No, that's not true. I can remember, but in the course of the game, I was watching both, and then clearly they turned off the basketball game to the point where I'm like, dude, I got to work tomorrow. What are y'all doing?
Yeah.
And then they had a little bit of both going on, but it was a good time. You know, had a chance to get under their skin, so to speak. And they brought up the Yankees, clearly, because of the letter. They said the Yankees were cheating, the Dodgers
totally
were
different.
Cheating, blah,
totally
blah.
Different.
Yeah, but they still were cheating. And they just think, as I explained to all the Houston Astro fans, no one got caught except two teams. That was it. That's all we care about.
Totally different what the Astros did.
Two of them got caught.
I feel like we should do more story time with Key when he goes on the road. I like
the Red Sox versus the Astros. Who cheated more? It was fun, though. Q&A with the fans, Jay, and it was good. But at the end of the day, when you look at the situation with the Celtics in Milwaukee, I actually thought that the Celtics was getting ready to run away with the game. Because when I looked up and was watching some of it, the Celtics were so far ahead. I'm like, oh, well, it's pretty much over with. But then that wasn't the case.
Well, look, so Giannis, he's not even really the lead for me because, like I said, you just expect it. Oh, 40? Yeah, of course, that's what Giannis does.
Yep.
To me, the story is Jrue Holiday. You know, I said going into the game, Jay, that someone's going to have to step up. Jrue is really struggling on the offensive end in this series, but he's not the type of dude to go a whole playoff series and not get it done, not to get you one that you need.
No, he's been balling, though, man.
Yes, but he's been shooting a lot to get the points. And in this game, down the stretch, both ends of the floor, he was incredible. You take him off the team, they can't win. What a game from Jrue Holiday.
Look, I think in Milwaukee, the story is Jrue Holiday and how he played down the stretch. But I know in Boston, the story is Marcus Smart. And when you look at this Boston Celtic team, Key, they are 4-11 in games decided by 3 points or less. Two of those games that they've lost were in this series alone. So for me, it comes down to point guards making big-time plays when you need them the most. Go through three plays, okay? The rebound that he didn't get. He got bumped into Jaylen Brown. Bobby Portis then got the offensive rebound. That kept him in the game. Then the play where he drove on the baseline, he got his shot blocked by Drew Holiday. And then the inbound pass. He inbounds the ball, gets it back. Instead of a guard is automatically, when you catch the ball in the game situation or in the shot clock, in the clock, you turn your face, you look up. Your head, like a swivel, looks up to see the court. You need to know where defenders are coming at you from, and you need to survey the court to see where your players are.
How does that not happen in that moment if it's reflex?
Because he automatically puts the ball down on the ground to try to make a play. And my thing is, even if it's one dribble, head up, he's looking down. You can't see the court. Jason Tatum's wide open. So when you see a team that's going 4-11 and games decided by 3 points or less, and you see these critical 3 minutes where there were mistakes made by Marcus Smart, I'm not saying it all goes on his shoulders, but damn, down the stretch, man, like those are three pretty big plays.
No, they were pretty big plays. And one of the things that you taught, and I know this, and I didn't even play high-level basketball, is to keep your head up at all times so you can see the floor and see everything. When you put your head down for a split second, everything is going to get thrown off. But in the end, though, Milwaukee wanted it more than Boston, I think. And that's why you saw a guy ball out like a Giannis, giving you what he gave you. But at the same time, Drew Holiday came and pushed the envelope, gave you what he was giving you, despite not having Chris Middleton in the lineup early on when this series first started. The first thing that I said, Jay, is for Milwaukee to win this thing, they're going to have a second guy, and the second guy has got to be Drew Holiday.
Yeah, and it was, by the way, the play where he, not just the block, but the control, the wherewithal to then throw the ball off Marcus Smart. Like, that was such, a lot of his plays down the stretch were high level of difficulty plays in addition to being extremely clutch plays. It's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Drew Holiday on ESPN Radio on his block on Marcus Smart.
Maybe there's more than one defensive player of the year on the court.
Ooh.
Fair. I'm just saying maybe because I'm so happy that Marcus got it, but I'm up there with him.
So okay. This is what I love about the play. This is called a setup. Pat Connaughton, who's guarding him, if you're watching the play, goes under, right? So whenever that happens, whenever you see a guard, if you're coming from the weak side, because Drew Holiday is literally standing there looming in the background. When Pat Connaughton goes under, it forces Marcus Smart to bring the ball up top, which just sets up perfectly for a big to come from the weak side or a guard like Drew Holiday to come and then block the shot over the top. But the whereabouts for Drew Holiday in that moment, like that's what makes him so genius defensively. Because he's on the top side, comes down, gets a block over the top, toe tips the line,
takes possession
of the ball, and then has the whereabouts to throw it hard off the chest of Marcus Smart for it to land out of bounds. Those are the championship-like plays for guards that always seem cool, calm, and collective, and they never stress. That's who Drew Holiday is on the court.
He really is, man. He's almost like the perfect third best dude to have on a championship team because he can take over a game when you need him to. He has some, just in terms of the sense of the moment to me, some Chauncey Billups in him, some Mr. Big Shot in him, right? Like, I'm
going to say this, and I know we'll talk about it later in the show. I mean, this team not having Chris Middleton, you're asking Drew Holiday to step up down the stretch. It continues to prove my point that I think Giannis is the best player in basketball. I mean, what he's able to do night in, night out with the physicality of the game, with the way they beat up on him, the way they double-team him, triple-team him, give him so many different looks, the fact that he can still put up 40 points, 13 rebounds, and keep them single-handedly in the game for Drew Holiday to finish down the stretch, I mean, it's wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, you just take it for granted with Giannis. 40? Oh, yeah, Giannis, 40.
40.
Let's talk about Drew Holiday and Marcus Smart and Portis and whoever else, because, of course, Giannis is going to get you 40. It's unreal. Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max is presented by Progressive Insurance. Even Terrence Howard would be proud of the hustle and flow from the Grizzlies, guys. That's next on ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You guys see this guy who lost the fantasy football league, had to play in a U.S. Open qualifying event? See this?
No, what happened?
Shot a 112, which is 40 over par on it's a par 72 course.
112 where the players roam.
So here's the question. What should the bet be for you and Key, for Key, you and Jay, against Bart and Han in the 2-on-2, June 1st?
What do you want to do with this one, Key?
I don't know. What dinner or... That's too easy, right?
I think the idea is what the loser has to do.
Loser
right?
has to.
That's what I'm saying. Like dinner or what? I would make them dive into the East River, but
oh,
that would be too.
Come out with the skin melted off them.
I will make them do a whole show wearing a tutu.
Or a onesie.
Seeing Bart and Alan because he's
Bart
so tall.
Bart probably would like wearing a tutu or a onesie knowing him.
Yeah, first of all, onesies look comfortable to me.
Yeah, no, but no. Key. Not if you get a onesie that's a couple sizes too small.
Yeah. Oh, imagine, that's part
imagine,
of it?
Imagine
that's
rated
that. R, man. Ain't nobody trying to see that. Ain't nobody. I think the tutu might be more embarrassing, though.
No.
A
onesie that's too small.
Oh, we got to think about
that. Because that would be very uncomfortable.
It's like they have to address you a certain way. Like something about.
I don't know what the bet should be. I have no idea, really, because what do you do?
Yeah,
buying dinner, that does nothing. They do that anyway.
888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776.
Who just jumps in the conversation and says on-site squats?
That should be the bet.
What do you mean?
The voice of reason came out of nowhere.
If y'all see
squats.
Alan Hahn on Get Up, yo, bro, I need 10 squats.
His legs is tiny.
Oh, just period.
I need
10 squats every time I see you, wherever you go. I need 10 bunny hops,
I'm
whatever.
All in on that.
Like,
oh, I love that, Yates.
Like, oh, Alan Hahn's on Get Up. I need 10 squats, bro.
So just randomly come into a show. Oh, you know, I'll do that.
Absolutely.
Randomly come into a show and just like, Key said, give me 10 squats.
They
got to
sign up for this too, though.
Yeah, so
here's the thing about Alan. Alan understands what Bart's gotten him into. So you got to come up with a bet that guys are going to sign off on.
What, are they scared?
Yeah.
They're not scared.
Yeah.
I'm not in shape, Jay, and I don't get up shots, so they should be okay.
Key's fine. We're good.
Yeah.
I'm out of shot. I'm out of shape. I've been hanging out at the wrong spots. Here with Pat, you know?
Now I'm thinking he
might pictures
be working
of you
out
eating
on the
food.
Yes. Pizza with arugula.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do. Big, small, and when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
Keyshawn, Jay, Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 80, your smart speakers. We're
play
presented
that,
by Progressive Insurance.
Play that, Yates. Play it.
A little hustle and flow. Kendra Andrews asked Steph Curry last night,
what's the
game plan? And that's what Steph said.
Yeah.
And, someone got whooped. But it certainly wasn't Memphis. I was very surprised. I thought, okay, no Ja. You know what? Golden State's getting ready to wrap this up. But, oh, my God, what a beating. Guys, like, the Grizz dominated the glass. I was asleep before halftime, but they were. I mean, you know, it was a million. They had a million point lead. Key. I mean, it was ridiculous.
They was up by, I think, 50 something at one point.
Yeah, I don't think when I was watching it got to 50, but it was 30s. Like, it was a big lead.
I know it was. I actually thought that, you know, when we were coming from dinner, I actually thought that somebody got hurt. Like, I'm thinking, like, well, maybe Steph and Clay both got hurt or something. Because it just didn't – it wasn't real, Jay. It didn't sound right.
Happened, Jay?
You know, it didn't look right.
First off, I was shocked. Like,
I know they were shocked, too.
I was shocked. But it wasn't – you know, in game four, I had talked about how sometimes – the ball doesn't bounce your way, and there was so much stuff going on. I said, Adrian Payne, you know, you talk about a teammate, a Draymond Green's in college. He passed away. Steve Kerr catches COVID 2 hours before the game. There's a lot of stuff. Shots aren't going down, but you still found a way to win. And the counterpoint to that was, oh, they were lackadaisical. They didn't take them seriously. And then that counterpoint translated into this game. I mean, they started getting blitzed to the middle of the second quarter. So
turning the ball over.
And I listened to Draymond Green's podcast on the way into work this morning. He made some interesting points talking about, and it sounded like excuses, but it wasn't. But still, it doesn't mean it equates to them losing by, you know, 50 points at a time. He was talking about.
Well, maybe if Draymond Green was a little more focused on basketball.
Well, he tells you what it is.
That's coming, though, Jay. Wasn't rushing to do his podcast.
No, because his actual podcast breaks down what happened. He was talking about offensively how they're very different when Ja Morant is not on the court, because a lot more guys get touches and a lot more guys have added responsibilities, and they do different things because they don't become overly reliant upon Ja Morant. Even when defensively things change because Golden State can't target him. They can't bring him into ball screens, and now when Ja's off the court, they have a lot more interchangeable pieces due to their size and their length and how they play. So the game plan changes. It still doesn't mean it needs to equate into them getting their
look
tail
at
whipped.
Those numbers with but and without. That's the points per game are higher without. The field goal percentage is about the same.
But so all that being said, Key, I don't give a damn. There's no way you get smacked like that when you're trying to close out. I mean, I still think Golden State is going to be favored to win this series, but that's alarming that they got beat up that bad. That says something to me about mentally, where are you in these type of games? And I watch Phoenix, and I'm like, man, is Phoenix more mentally strong and more locked in than Golden State? Doesn't mean Golden State can't beat Phoenix, and I'm not extracting this just all from one game, but that is alarming, Key.
Yeah, but they're going back to Oakland now.
Yeah,
back to San Fran now. So,
but Key, you're down 55 at one point.
Yeah, but you know how it is, Jay. And sometimes you eat the bear, but sometimes the bear eats you.
Yeah, but
and that's the situation where, yeah, you it get out of control, you get out of hand. Sometimes things get out of hand, and when they get out of hand, it just unravels a certain way. I get it. You're down at 1.50 plus points. You wind up losing by 30-something points. You sit there and you try to figure out why. Draymond, as you said, explained on his podcast what the situation in his mind was for them getting down and losing a game in fashion in which they did.
Key, it just leads me to wonder about Golden State's ability to win games when it gets to a meaningful moment against a really good team, right? So Memphis, the last game, like, you can make the case that, you know, Memphis allowed Golden State to get in it, right, to kind of take it away at the end. But, like, Memphis was outplaying them the whole game, and they found a way. And it seems like it caught up to Golden State in this game. So it just makes me think about, like, you know, what kind of mentality will they have when they finally do close this out? But it's I don't know, man. It's dangerous.
How can they be really warriors good at home?
When you know you good, though, Jay, you know how that is, man.
I feel you, man, but it seems like you're playing with a little bit of fire, man.
When you know you really good, like Golden State, and they know they good, you will have a game like this where you walk into the stadium already confident. They don't have Ja. Man, we getting ready to run these dudes out the building, and all of a sudden you're the one getting run out the building. Now your focus going back to Oakland has to reshift. And now you got to say, well, you know what, we can't play this game and take them lightly anymore. I've been in games and situations like that where – I got whooped where it was like, this team was not better than us, but they did everything the right way, and we did everything the wrong way, and we had no time to catch up because time was running out. Mm.
So my favorite player is Ja Morant. Someone said, who's your favorite basketball player? Ja Morant. There's probably not another athlete I would rather watch over Ja Morant. But the effect that what you point out, Jay, in terms of in what Dre points out, Draymond Green on his podcast about how everyone touches the ball and all this, it reminds me, I'm trying to remember who said it about John Wall with the Wizards. They're so good in the high pick and roll, right, that they just do this continuously. When he's not in the game, they do other things, and sometimes we're better without him. It's like the James Harden effect, or now you see the Luka Doncic effect, when one guy is so good that in some bizarre way it makes the team sometimes less effective when he's out there because other guys can't get in rhythm, the kind of rhythm they can get when they're getting more touches, the ball has energy, all that stuff, when he's not out there.
Yeah, but it's also different, right? Like, you guys have to remember, for a lot of games, they did not have Steven Adams on the court. He was out due to health and safety protocol.
He dominated
right?
on
so
the glass.
So him and Jaren Jackson, they got 18 offensive rebounds last night as a team. Like 18 offensive rebounds. And so the physicality of the game, you almost wish they had that in game one. They might have found a way to win that game, right? That was a winnable game. And also, Golden State had 22 turnovers. So their defense was on point. The thing is, can that be translatable into game six on the road to get it to a game seven? But it's not like Steph is shooting
Golden State
out.
Will get sloppy with the ball. In terms of turnovers, you can repeat that. And then the question is, can Golden State do anything with Steven Adams?
Well, and Jaren Jackson, and he can't. Kevon Looney? I mean, you're talking about Draymond Green? Like, they're undersized at that position. If they have three guys that can outshoot you.
Know what the problem is, though? Golden State needs one, right? Like, that's really the problem they're dealing with.
Yeah, and they're going back to Golden State.
But, I think that Golden State's going to close out the series. And if Phoenix does, I'm just going to tell you guys right now, I can't wait for one of the low-key best rivalries in all of basketball, and that is CP3 and Stephen Curry.
Oh, my God.
When that moment happens.
And that's probably an NBA championship, to be honest with you.
Key, these two, like Steph trained with him coming into the league, went with his family to Disney World. They had a great relationship. Then he played in the 2014 playoffs. The Clippers closed out Golden State in seven. The story between these two and some of the most viral moments in CP3's career have been him defensively getting roasted by Steph.
Oh, it's so good.
So what that could be, I'm not saying it, but I'm just saying.
Chris Paul, the perfect point guard from Once Upon a Time, the way the game used to be played, he's perfect, versus the guy who basically invented modern basketball and Steph for all the basically to see who can go on to play for all the marbles. You're so right. So we know when the Cowboys, they're going to play Green Bay this season. And what we don't know is whether Mike McCarthy will still be the coach of the Cowboys when that happens.
G-Shawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day. But sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80, your smart speakers. See us on ESPN2. You can download the podcast. You can hear us on the app. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. So, guys, Mike McCarthy returns to Green Bay. Cowboys go to Lambeau week 10. Key? Well, you know, I said Mike McCarthy, but the Cowboys are going to go to Lambeau week 10. Will Mike McCarthy go to Lambeau week 10? Is he still going to be the Cowboys coach?
Yeah, week 10 for sure he'll still be the coach. He won't get – Jerry has never fired a coach at the middle to the beginning of the season. He's never fired a coach. I mean, he may have told the coach you're probably going to be done and, you know, let him finish out the year. But I don't see – if he struggles, I don't see where all of a sudden Jerry goes against that. He sticks with it. But I don't know if Mike McCarthy will struggle this year to the point where he'll be fired in the middle of the season, week 10 – and somebody else, like, I don't know who would be, Dan Quinn. Or
what about the opposite, Key?
Lines?
What if Jerry Jones wants to hire Sean Payton, right? And Mike McCarthy's looking a little too good. What if does Jerry Jones want to win the Super Bowl with Mike McCarthy?
But if you look at too good, then there's no need to hire Sean Payton, right? I don't see that as a scenario. Now, if he gets off to a terrible start, 1-5 or something like that, or 2-4, then I can see where he won't make it to Lambeau at that point. Mm. Like, if it's just a complete disaster, then, yeah, he'll get fired and won't be on the plane to Lambeau.
Yeah, CK, I think he'll be there, but let me tell you what I think is going to happen by the time we get to week 10, Max. There's always this talk around the beginning of the season, that cowboy talk. Nobody's really talking about them as much because people are talking about Tom Brady coming back for another season, Aaron Rodgers, what his receiving core look like in Green Bay. A lot of people are starting to jump on the Philadelphia Eagles train and Jalen Hurts, right? Another year behind the center. People are talking about the Saints and how, you know, retooled their defense is and Jameis Winston and him coming back. So people aren't really talking about the Cowboys, but you know, beginning of the season, we'll get that Cowboys talk about, hey, they could be a team that could be there when it's all said and done. Dak, he got the bag.
I'm nervous that people aren't talking about him. It's making me nervous. They're flying under the radar.
But by the time I think we get to week 10, Key, I don't think we'll be talking about the Cowboys at all. I think they will be a team that
– what'd you say? Week 10 is a lot of football left still.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. It's interesting. Jerry Jones does not want to be the team that is not talked about.
I don't think we'll be talking about the Cowboys being a Super Bowl contender by the time we get to week 10. I think we'll be talking about, you know, what issues they have and how they need to readdress it. And I still think we'll start pushing the ball down the field another year.
But as Key says, in a 17-week season, even if they're 5-5, 6-4, something like that.
I'm going out on a limb, and I'm stating for the fact, as a Giants fan, yes, I'm saying it, that I do not think the Cowboys will be as relevant in week 10. We won't be talking about them having a chance to win a Super Bowl. We'll be talking about them retooling for the next year to come and what pieces they do need. I'm taking that chance right now.
Speak. I don't disagree with you at all, Jay. If that's how you feel that way. I'm just saying 10 games with 7 to go, there's a lot of football left.
I hear you.
So you got to be like 4-6 to not be in the conversation.
I know we have to see their schedule. I know Keita has to come out. I just think there's a lot of pressure on Dak to all of a sudden be this savior. And Key, I've heard you say this so many times. It's ingrained in my mind.
Don't tell me what I said.
Well, I'm going to tell you what you said because you keep saying it. What was that stat you say about the Cowboys when they rushed over 100 yards in a game?
I don't remember, but they were like undefeated or something like that.
It's some crazy stat, right?
Yeah. So,
so we always talk about them being a run-dominant team, but yet they're paying the quarterback as if they were a throw-first team. And it's just going to be
No, they're paying the quarterback what the market dictates.
Okay, thank you for clarifying.
Yeah, but that only dictates it. That market only dictates it for the top quarterbacks.
Yes.
And if you're a top quarterback, I think the idea is, well, he's not the kind of guy who can drop back this many times. Well, but you're paying him like he is, right?
Yeah, but Max, it doesn't matter. It's the market. I don't know how many times I got to knock you guys in the head.
No, but that market doesn't apply to everyone, Key. It applies to some guys.
It applies to everyone that is young, that can play the position.
Okay.
Everyone will get the bag. Kyler Murray will get the bag. Lamar Jackson will get the bag on a run-heavy football team. But, I mean, they're getting ready to play Russell Wilson. They're getting ready to pay Russell Wilson the bag. And guess what? The Denver Broncos rush for 1,900 yards.
Not Baker Mayfield.
Understood. But also, Max, add to that point,
though. Baker Mayfield doesn't even have a team, Max.
Kyler Murray will get the bag. It puts pressure, even more pressure on Kyler Murray. Same with Lamar Jackson. Yeah. You have another MVP performance.
Absolutely.
It doesn't relieve the pressure from Dak
Prescott. Yeah, Dak Prescott is on the stove, man.
Yeah.
He on the right burner, okay? And it's on high, and the other burner's ticking. You know that tick, 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 tick before it actually lights? That's where his is at. There's no question. Last year, he got the bag. The year before, he got hurt. It was kind of like, okay, well, all right, well, let's get it. Let's figure it out. Now, the flames is hot.
See,
he's
I
boiling
disagree
right
with
now.
This. Wait a minute. I disagree with this. Everyone keeps – I keep hearing this. Let me tell you why I disagree. It's not that people won't notice it and talk about it. We will. However, I see two more years of runway for him. I'll tell you what I mean. Mike McCarthy gets fired. It doesn't work out. McCarthy's gone. Well, it was the coach. Now you bring in the new coach. Year one, it doesn't work out.
You mean
Sean
Payton?
Year one with a new coach. You got to let him get used to the new system. He got 2 years of runway before he's really, really on the hot seat.
No. This is the Dallas Cowboys, man. This is not the Philadelphia Eagles. This is not the Carolina Panthers. This is the Dallas Cowboys, America's team. And if you're the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys, you are America's quarterback.
Mm.
And he has to deliver this year.
What did Tony Romo? Tony Romo didn't win a Super Bowl. He was there for years celebrating.
Max Kellerman? Come on, man. Seriously, did you really just say Tony Romo didn't win a Super Bowl? Like, no. Let's be honest with each other.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Jerry Jones had a different affection for Tony Romo. And people had a different affection for Tony Romo. His story was different. Dak Prescott got paid as the highest paid quarterback at once upon a time in the NFL. That pressure is different than when Tony Romo got paid.
I agree. Listen.
So much different.
Listen, I get it. Dak got the bag. He gives you the feeling of a winner and all that stuff. At a certain point, though, if the results don't add up to the feeling you get, that's when the pressure comes, and that might be coming right now. I get the whole Cowboys thing, but let's think it through. Let's say they don't win a playoff game this year. Ugh. Mike McCarthy is fired. Dak's going to be right there, right?
Well, he has to be there. They paid him. He's not going anywhere.
Of course, but Aaron Rodgers was scuffling a little, not him, but the team in Green Bay. They got rid of Mike McCarthy. Same dude. Now you bring in a new coach. Now, people don't think Dak is Aaron Rodgers, right? But they think he's real good. In that first year in a new coach's system, they went out and drafted a quarterback because he was getting used to it.
Can you say Sean Payton's system?
Okay, Sean Payton.
Yes.
The point is, he's going to get 1 year at here's a freebie, Dak, new coach.
I get what you're saying, Max. There's truth to that. He's going to – people are going to say, oh, well, let's see what Sean does with it.
Right.
But it does not alleviate the heat and the pressure that this young man is going to be under – if the Dallas Cowboys do not look like a team that's going to finish strong and Mike McCarthy is fired. That's just, it's the reality of it. I understand what you're saying, though, about he's got a little bit of a runway. You can make an excuse. It was a system. You can blame it on the coach. Some people will buy that. Most people will not buy that at all when you just gave a guy the type of money that you gave him and you look at his track record and all of those sort of things. They'll start putting it together. You know how they'll do it. They'll start piecing it together. It'll look like a different puzzle when they're done.
So, Key, let me ask you, because I'm a betting man. You're the football expert. Knowing that everything Dallas has lost, where do you see them when it's all said and done this year?
I still kind of see them fighting for the division with the Philadelphia Eagles. I think they got the better quarterback within the division right now. I really like Jalen Hurts, though. I like him. I like Carson Wentz's system in Washington. I think they probably win the division, and they might most likely get bounced in that first round of the playoffs, depending on who the opponent is, which means that Sean Payton is finishing up the interiors of the house that he probably just bought near the Texas facility. I mean, near the Cowboys.
Yeah, near the Cowboys facility.
Strategically bought, yes.
Bill in Penguinsville. Know what that means. What's going on, Bill?
How you doing, guys?
Tough
What's
loss last night,
Bill?
Man.
Nice to talk to you. Hey, yeah. I wanted to make a point about coaches. I think coaches make the biggest difference in football, right? Look at Belichick. But what I really wanted to say is the Steelers are going to be big this year because of the coach that they brought in that nobody wanted to hire.
Mm-mm.
Remember?
Brian Flores.
But he is going to be so hot after this year, everybody's going to want him.
Yeah, I think the Steelers are going to be good this year. Just a tough division.
Yeah, I think the Steelers will be good. Brian Flores is a good coach, so he'll do well on the defensive side of the ball. Yeah, they'll be fine. I don't.
What's good? What's fine? What's fine with?
He is overqualified for his job. Nice.
Mitchell Trubisky, can he pick it? Which one's starting?
I'll tell you this off the bat.
I'll put any amount of money, Mitch Trubisky.
But how good is good? What's fine?
I'll tell you off the bat like this. Off the bat, like it's a 17-game season now, right? I'm going to tell you minimum the Steelers are 9-8. That's where I start. That's the floor for me, 9-8. Okay? So you get ball bounces a couple of times. Lucky for you, all of a sudden you got 11 wins. That could happen.
I think they are a 10-11 win type team. I think they squeak into the bottom half of the playoff bracket. That's what I kind of think. I mean, I don't really know how it's going to shake out, obviously, with the numbers and how many games you're going to need to win and all that. But I think they at the back end of the playoffs. That's what I believe. I think they're a 10-11 win team.
Okay. How about the Packers of it all? We've been focusing on the Cowboys, right? But actually, to me, America's team is actually, when you think about it, the Packers. That's the team of Vince Lombardi. That's the team, like when people – there was an old expression in advertising, does it play in Peoria? Because that's supposed to really represent middle America. Now, demographics have changed. But that's basically in that area, right? They're owned
Peoria,
by
– Illinois?
They're owned by the fans. Yes, they're owned by the fans. The Packers, really, like, you know, it's publicly owned. So to me, the Packers are as much America's team as anyone. They're, like, to me, the true America's team. And we haven't focused on them yet. What about the Packers in all this? Did they get Aaron Rodgers enough in this offseason? Key, when they drafted Jordan Love, this is first year under a new coach, Aaron Rodgers, maybe he's just learning a new system, maybe he's getting older, it wasn't clear, let's draft his replacement. They had a chance to win that year. But without bringing in an extra weapon for Rodgers, it feels to me like they've been chasing their tails since then. You know, oh, good pickup in the second round at wideout. But they got to replace Devontae Adams. Have they gotten better, Key, or do they have enough to win a Super Bowl?
I think they have enough to win a Super Bowl because they got number 12 and a defense with Joe Barry, led by Joe Barry, the defensive coordinator. Certainly came on middle to the late part of the year, got better. They added two high-level defensive players early in the draft. They picked up receivers middle, late in the draft. I think when you look at them, I think they're going to be right there with everybody else. You know, everybody talks about they should have took a receiver. When they drafted Jordan Love, it's like they don't need a receiver. They needed a player wherever, the best player available. They didn't need a receiver. Aaron Rodgers would have liked to have somebody that could have helped them, but they history shows they don't draft receivers in the first round. They like guys in the second to later rounds to develop and turn out to be something special. Also, that speaks to the whole guard of the Green Bay Packers, the old guard of the Green Bay Packers in the past, as well as the Kansas City Chiefs. Where did Andy Reid start? Okay, that's just what they do. So let's get off of they needed a receiver in the first round so much.
I'm not saying that. Christian Watson could wind up being the best in the class. Who knows? Let's wait and see. As you said, they've had a lot of luck with it.
Romeo Dubs.
I mean, like, it looked like they could have gotten over the top. Now, they won 13 games every year, right? They win 13 games a year. I'm not worried about them in the regular season. I'm saying Tom Brady came back. First year he was in your conference, Aaron Rodgers, he got by you and won the Super Bowl.
But that's Aaron, though. That ain't the receiver.
Oh, no. I'm saying, like, does Rodgers have enough? By Rodgers, I mean both sides of the ball. By week 10, I know the Packers are going to have a great record. That's not going to tell me anything. I won't know until the playoffs start.
I think they do. Doesn't mean that they will, though. Like, what we tend to do is we focus in on the star power, the snack, crackle, pop. Oh, they got Gronkowski. They got Mike Evans. They got this. They got that. But they're going to be better than them. Well, they lost to the Rams. How did that happen? Well, the Bucks didn't do this. They did. So you just don't know what's going to happen in Green Bay. They may all of a sudden turn on the switch for those three games in the playoffs this year, when they didn't in the past.
Yeah, I don't think there's going to be. I don't know. Key, is there a way to tell if they're going to turn it on in the playoffs in the regular season? To me,
got to get there and got to see. Because we don't know, right? Tennessee Titans rolling along. Ah, they don't need Derrick Henry. They're great. Ah, Max voice. And then at the end, Ryan Tannehill gives the ball to the other team three times. They lose. They go home. Cincinnati, oh, they're okay. Blah, blah. They wind up in the Super Bowl. We don't know until the season starts. From right now, as I look, the Green Bay Packers are one of the top 3 to 4 teams in the NFC.
John in Texas, you're on with Keyshawn, J. Will and Max, ESPN Radio.
Yeah, I'm a lifelong Cowboy fan. I'm 78. They have always been, since their Super Bowl run in the early 90s, ever since then, they've always been overhyped, overhyped as a team. They don't got the goods, and they damn sure don't got the goods at quarterback. Prescott's just an average quarterback. Thank you.
Average. I think he's better than average. I think he's a good quarterback. He just trending to great.
I get a little bit of John's point about the overhype that comes along with it. So if you're the quarterback, starting quarterback of an overhyped team, people can overhype, you know, how good you are too, to a degree. I'm not saying it's real, but I can see the correlation.
There you go. There's your first flame. Max, there's the first little spark right there, right? That Prescott isn't the guy. So you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's why that pressure, that, oh, my God, we gave him this money, get rid of him. All of that, if it doesn't happen this year, it's coming. You watch what I tell you in late January. You'll be like, ah, Key was right on this day.
Let's see what Don in Dallas has to say about it.
Yeah, I agree. Thanks for taking my call. I agree with Key, but for a different reason. Key said the puzzle will look different for us. No, the puzzle will not look different for us. Because like the last caller, if you guys remember, I called and told you guys before, Dak was not the guy when he first got that contract. You know, but why come Jerry Jones won't bring a reliable backup? Because when he goes down again, Cooper Rush is not going to be the guy to take us there. And we don't have another guy to step in if Dak is faltering.
That's a good point.
Well, there's the other spark.
But Key, what about the point? I hear what you're saying, but what about the point he made where maybe the second most important player on the team is the backup quarterback? And what do you think about Dallas's depth at quarterback? Should they have brought in someone who's more like a veteran, reliable veteran, in the event of an injury?
Absolutely. But who's out there though, right? I mean, I don't know. When I think about it, it's like, I mean, they could have made a play for Marcus Mariota, but he was going to get the starting job in Atlanta.
Key. Baker Mayfield?
No, you don't. You don't want that. You don't want that.
I'm just throwing it out there. You said a reliable backup, somebody.
No, I understand that, but it's $18, $19
million. Well,
it's not going to be,
I'm not taking him at that price. No way.
But I understand that.
I'm saying if he is eventually cut or released.
No, let's do the Keyshawn. Look, you know, you take him aside. Hey, Baker, you take a little haircut. We're going to pick up a little bit. They're going to pick up. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but the thing that you don't want to put the stress on your star quarterback that all of a sudden Baker Mayfield is in Dallas. You know what Dallas is? You really want to know what Dallas, Texas is? You guys are geographically educated, right? What's proximity to Dallas?
Oh, yeah, no question.
Oklahoma.
No question.
Where is he from? Austin, Texas.
Yeah.
You don't want to bring that in the building because the moment that a guy struggles, second guy could put Baker in. It's just too
quarterback
much.
Quarterback controversy. Yeah. The only thing is, I think Dak is better than Baker. People know that.
Yeah,
right?
I understand that. But if Dak Prescott has some struggles, let's say Dak struggles 2 or 3 games in a row. Now, all of a sudden,
that's the talk.
Boo, Dallas Morning News.
Dak, don't struggle 2-3 games in a row. I mean, this is what you're talking about, Key.
It happens, though, Max. They all struggle. Hell, Tom Brady, he had 5 fingers up against Chicago.
Yeah, Patrick.
What did you say on Get Up or First Take? Done.
And then 7 Super Bowls later.
But that's the thing. Tom Brady, Patrick Mahomes, they can struggle for a while. Even if Baker or whoever's backing them up, no one's going to bat an eye. Dak is not there yet.
Exactly.
Dak is not that dude, but they paid him like that.
So you don't want to put somebody behind him. Now, if you went and got an old wizard, I'm just trying to think, who would be an old wizard?
Yeah,
if you get like a Hoyer or somebody like that, you know.
Like what Case Keenum was for Baker on the Browns a couple years ago.
Yeah.
Or last year.
Last year. Yeah. And there were some rings around that.
The best player in the NBA did it again, guys. He did it again. We're going to tell you about it next on ESPN Radio and ESPN2.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Electric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Electric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Electric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.